Hey everybody, it's Paul Scheer from How Did This Get Made? I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website. It's hdtgminfo.com. You can find out everything that you need to know about How Did This Get Made on that site, where we're doing live shows, where to buy tickets, what the movies are. Everything and anything is there. And I want to let you know that we have shows coming up in New York and Denver and in some other places that we can't quite announce yet. So bookmark hdtgminfo.com. Are you looking for a teen romance? How about a story about a child with a disability? Or a movie about two matriarchs? Or a movie about a small depressed town? Or a movie about a church gospel group? Or a movie about a gospel competition? Good, because this movie's got all of those plots. We saw Joyful Noise, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? Gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, because you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Paul Scheer. I am joined, as always, by June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
Good. How are you, Paul?
Very good. And Jason Manzoukas. How are you, Jason?
Terrific.
We have a very special guest in studio today. You know this guy from Everyone Loves Raymond, from his stand-up. He recently has a Kindle single called My Seinfeld Year. Please welcome Fred Stoller. Welcome to the show.
I'm so excited. I love your show, and then this thing seems like it was made for your show.
Well, I am very excited to have you. And
one thing you left out in the description.
Yes.
It has dark humor, black, you know, but that's so, well, you'll get into it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, let's throw in some uncomfortable dark things.
There's a lot of dark things.
That don't make any sense in this or any movie.
Well, this movie is just...
This movie is also a musical in some ways.
It's a full-on musical. I would argue that that's the best part of the movie. I actually did not mind these musical numbers.
Oh, no. At first, when I was watching the first song, I go, how can you crucify this? But then you then it got...
Oh, just you wait.
You know what,
just
to me, though? That was actually one of the most frustrating parts of the movie, that you have Dolly Parton. I mean, I'm a huge Dolly fan. And
who
so
isn't?
To see her in not singing all that much in this movie. I mean, Dolly has one solo.
But it is arguably the best.
It's actually a duet.
And but it's barely a duet. It's really just her.
It's really just her. And then the rest of the movie is other people singing solos with just seeing Dolly in the frame, like half of that hair.
Well, when she's in the chorus is so random because it's like a bunch of like high school kids. It's one middle-aged Chinese guy that looks like Gilbert Gottfried.
I wish it had been Gilbert Gottfried.
Yes, and she looks like the, not the pedophile, but the teachers that have sex with young people. You know what I'm saying? When she's singing, it does not look right that she's slopped in there.
Well, no, she definitely looks different. Like, she definitely stands out. I mean,
she's out of place both in the town
and in the movie.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
Well, yeah, she's this rich woman that all the jokes
are rich white woman.
Surgery.
Yes. Yeah.
And she's in this black group that
she basically keeps the church running because she's very wealthy.
I mean, the whole
she doesn't get any authority.
Yes. The whole story about it, essentially, which kind of was a bummer, I felt like, was, you know what these poor black people need? White Dolly Parton to fund them. And then, you know what these black people need when the chorus isn't going well? Dolly Parton's white, good-looking grandson. You know, like,
he didn't think about
white
that.
White people keep rescuing, keep saving the poor black people.
Just to set the stage a little bit, this movie is about a church choir who is always making itself, always getting to...
In Georgia.
They always get to the semifinals of their church choir. They never win the finals.
The competition. They never get to the finals.
Oh, right.
They always lose in the semis.
Is that a thing?
I assume that Joyful Noise thing is real, and that blonde woman who's hosting
real.
It is the real host.
That's what I'm guessing. Like, kind of a messed up concept.
You mean competitive religious music?
Whoever praises the Lord better gets to win.
But it's so random because some do religious songs, but I don't want to ruin the big ending with the medley, but just random songs.
Well, yeah, basically, I mean, this is a gospel music, a gospel movie with not that much gospel in it. Like, they're pretty much singing, like, they have a whole section where they're just singing Paul McCartney's, like,
Man in the Mirror.
Yeah, Man in the Mirror, and Baby, I'm Amazed. Yeah. These are not gospel songs.
By the way, that's a big flaw in the movie, is that you think you would think the story was that Queen Latifah, who takes over for Dolly's dead husband. Oh, Dolly's husband died.
Oh, yeah. First of all.
Let's get back to it.
Well, first of all, yeah. Oh, I just want to say this music, I didn't know about the show till Paul suggested it. And I'm a schmuck. I couldn't like figure out how to download it. Or then I see it was on HBO. I just DVR'd it. So I thought I bought it, but I bought the soundtrack. So I have this for the rest of my life. I'm looking at the man in the mirror.
You're going to be jogging and that will come on
I'm
shuffle.
I'm amazed. So I have this, so I better like it. Like, you can't resell this stuff.
No, it's yours.
So the movie opens up. They're performing at some sort of event, and Kris Kristofferson is leading the choir.
The event, by the way, Paul, is mass.
Oh, was that mass?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was.
It's just church.
I thought it was like a. It seemed like a competition.
I couldn't tell either.
It was lit very dark.
And was he leading it? Because he was just sort of like.
Yeah, he was waving his hand.
He was like the choir director. And then he starts to have the most cliched heart attack
again,
in history.
Again, the most random group.
Yeah.
He's the white guy.
Oh, yeah.
And Kris Kristofferson is leading the choir group. It's also weird when Queen Latifah and Dolly Parton are in it. It's weird that Kris Kristofferson, I don't know, I thought that he wouldn't be the likely source.
And you see his name in the credits, so he's one of the stars, so say what happens.
Yeah,
so,
and then he has this heart attack.
Yeah, he starts grabbing his left arm, and Dolly Parton...
Wait, he's grabbing his left arm, and he goes, I'm okay, and people are looking, so if he's that good a leader, why did he keep going one thing?
The crazy thing is, he starts grabbing his left arm, Dolly Parton notices something's wrong, and he goes, I'm okay, and she leads him off stage mid-song, and goes, I'm taking you home. And I'm like, take him to the hospital.
Yeah!
Do not go home.
Well,
next scene, his funeral.
Dead. They don't even get Kris Kristofferson in the next scene because there's no casket in the next scene. Just a picture of him. There's a lot of pictures.
That was a memorial service, which I thought was odd.
Oh.
She says to the pastor, who's from, there are a lot of Law and Order series regulars.
Courtney B.
Vance. Joyful Noise, but... She says to him, thank you so much for this memorial service.
Wait, which
I thought was very weird that we didn't cut to a funeral. And I didn't know if that was to try to justify the fact that he says, not a second later, he's already replaced Kris Kristofferson's.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
Oh, I mean, it is.
Right as the funeral ends, it's like, can you come in the back room with me for a second? Okay, so you are fired from this job, and Queen Latifah's got your job.
Yeah, basically.
And Dolly Parton, again, is the one that puts up all the money.
Yeah. So
thank you. And he's very grateful for her money. But
you can't lead this.
But you can't lead the choir.
And they have some unexplained rivalry that never really...
Yeah, you never really get to why they don't like each other. It would
you
seem
mean
like,
Queen and Dolly?
Yeah.
Well, I think... I think what was going on is that Queen does in some ways resent that Dolly... has an in with the church because of her money.
But it's not such an in.
Yeah.
She doesn't really have that much power.
Right,
it's not such an in. Because what is odd about that is that Queen had such a great relationship with Kris Kristofferson.
Apparently.
So
we don't really know.
We never saw that.
Maybe she resented him too.
This whole movie,
right,
by the way.
Queen Latifah seems to resent everyone. That's the my thing was, I felt like their rivalry was predicated on they were just two big forces, and they were gonna tussle over power regardless.
It felt like the choir couldn't support both of them.
Yes.
Like someone had to go.
And it almost felt like the choir would be better off without both of them.
Well, clearly the
with
choir...
With Mr. Sue running the choir.
The choir would be better off without both of them because they basically, the two stars... is the love story here. The two young kids, Kiki and the other kid, I don't know that person's Jeremy Jordan.
No.
Oh yeah, Randy is his name.
Who are these? Now I needed to ask: are these people I'm supposed to know?
That's what I was confused.
Are these like American Idol kids, or are they like
I looked them up. I think that no, they were not Idol winners. They were just actors.
Because I was like, they're treating them with like a singing reverence, and I was like, am I supposed to know
Jeremy
something
Jordan
about
was
these people?
In Newsies on Broadway, and now he's in Smash. So he
TV show Smash.
So they're good singers.
Good singers, but they're not like huge stars.
Okay,
here's what's
fine.
Odd about it too. Dolly, this is Dolly's grandson who comes into town.
Well, and they have
after his grandfather's funeral.
The scene with the gun. Oh, like some random scene with a rifle.
Dolly comes home and hears some rustling in the kitchen and immediately grabs a shotgun.
Is in the bureau next to the front door. Like multiple shotguns.
Right in the living room.
Multiple shotguns are in the living room.
Yeah.
And she grabs
the home entertainment center.
It's just guns.
And he's in the refrigerator eating like a Fred Flintstone kind of like turkey drumstick.
Yeah.
Because that's what...
But she walks in there so kind of cavalierly with shotgun. Like as if she's done this before. Dolly has shot and killed people. Also showing that Dolly has some bad instincts. One, if you hear somebody broke in your house and you're in your, you know, late 60s, early 70s.
Get out.
Bring your husband to the hospital.
No way. That's not Dolly Parton for you.
She's like, I'm going to bring him back home. I'm going to nurse his heart attack back to health.
Oh, my God.
And I'm going to shoot somebody in my house.
So crazy. But it's her... did you just say that the grandson wasn't at the Christo... Yeah.
He wasn't at his grandfather's funeral.
A big deal is made about the fact that all of the sons came, but not the one daughter.
Who lives in New York.
Who lives in New York and is the mother of this boy.
And you think, I mean, at least for me, the entire movie is building up to, who is this daughter going to be?
Same.
It's going to be like Shania Twain.
Yep.
It's going to be some huge singer that's going to come in and
save the day.
Nope.
For all the black people?
Nope. You don't ever meet her. You don't hear about her.
There was one white guy in the... they had these stories that don't go anywhere. These random shots of a recession. Like
yes.
The storylines of these stores closing.
Oh, yeah.
And one guy to give it... Like they would have one scene then cut to, I hope my hardware store doesn't go under. That's my job. And this the white guy who looks like Paul Feig.
Yeah.
You know, and he's... in a locker room or somewhere, and they're all doing like redneck jokes at him, like almost like they brought in someone from Blue Collar to punch it up.
Yeah, they're like, you got divorced 3 times, but you still have the same family. You know, you got
and
three
he's like,
TVs
it's a
on
small
TVs.
Town. It's a small town and a small gene pool. So it was like, there was a lot of
like
slams.
Though, I did like that when he does find out. By the way, the hardware store is his dad's store,
right?
Yeah,
and when he finds out it's closed. He finds out by showing up to the store that his family owns with his father and seeing the signs of
who is closing the store. Someone's, we're going to close
it. Do you remember they had like a scene, like I said, I'm repeating myself, like a song, then a montage of stores closing.
Yeah.
But what
did
it have to do with anything?
Well, that's the whole thing with this movie. It's almost like they just started like a bunch of different things. Like you would think like, if they sing really well, will the town come back? Yeah. Like,
yeah.
The town is just shutting down.
Like random.
For no reason.
Like, it's just the recession. That's why Queen Latifah's husband joins the army because he can't get a job and then he needs money for the family. That's why their stores are closing. That's why the town, people who are coming to the church soup kitchen are like, good luck in the competition. Like, even the town's homeless need the rallying.
But
need
they
to rally.
Even that, they didn't it's even seem that morale. Homeless. They seem like kind of like middle class
and
families.
Maybe they were. Maybe the times are that tough.
That's what I think it is.
Yeah,
I mean, this town is depressed.
Is what my favorite character was, like I described, like Gilbert Gottfried's older Chinese brother.
Yeah. Mr. Su.
And
Mr.
he goes Su. To this woman after she sings, this heavy black lady, I like your lungs.
He says, you've got big lungs.
You've got big lungs, and you think he's some guy like has a restraining order, a pedophile. Like, he just looks creepy.
He's super creepy.
Yeah. And then, I don't want to ruin it, but another arbitrary...
This is a great one.
So the black... So he's this heavyset black lady. This is trying to be sweet and church and gospel, but they have this unexplained dark black humor.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was where the two young people seem like they like each other, and Mr. Su goes, young love. And the black lady goes, yeah. And he goes, I haven't had sex in 3 years.
Yeah.
I haven't in 4. And they look to each other. They start kissing. Lou Rawls plays.
And they make out. They're making out hard. Like, they don't kiss.
He's
they
the
make
creepy
out.
Guy.
Public.
Public.
And his hands like up her ass and her and hands. Yeah.
He's just one. She looked at him like she should. Like you should be. Are you a rapist? Why are you doing community service or touching people? You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, because they both haven't had sex in 7 years combined, they're making out. Cut to they're in bed. And then you go, no, he's not dead.
Yeah, she killed him. He's dead with a smile on his face. Yeah.
She makes him breakfast. Brings it to him on a tray.
So this is two heart attacks.
One of three different meals that are served on trays in this movie, I think.
two heart attacks so far.
Yep.
Yes, two heart attacks.
What's in the cholesterol in this town?
Hey, well, that's why everyone's dying.
And by the way,
all the businesses are closed.
By the way, Mr. Su is instantly forgotten.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, he is missed in the choir.
No. They have the funeral, and she's sobbing.
That's true,
She's sobbing because, you know,
nobody's going to want to be with me.
He goes, it's okay, you know. She goes, I'm not crying because I miss him. I'm crying because they're going to think I'm the one that...
You hit it and die.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's the other thing, too. They are literally in front of his casket. And she's worried about people not having sex with her in the future.
Because they'll think that she is like some sort of like
Black Widow.
Black Widow kind
of thing. I'm saying, it'd be one thing if the movie had that whole tone.
I think African American Widow.
Dying and then you're afraid that they won't have sex with you. You know what I'm saying? If it had that tone, it's trying to be sweet. Hey, we do it for the church. And then all of a sudden, Lou Rawls playing as these two weird people having sex.
Every single church member has a weird side story. That is true. Every single choir.
I appreciated that though.
Did you
like it? I really did. Yeah.
June, let me ask you a question. This movie, obviously, they sang to tracks. Like, it was music that was sung to tracks. Les Mis or this? What had the more powerful songs, do you think? Les Mis is all live singing, right?
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing. That he, you know, they sang live while they were shooting. I don't think they were singing live in Joyful Noise.
You don't?
I think maybe the way you can tell is
every time they would cut to him, it was bad lip syncing. It was like Milli Vanilli
really
style.
Tough.
Dolly would miss words.
Everybody missed words.
And the band was never in sync. There was one where there's a drummer and there's no drumming in the song.
It kind of looks like the Peanuts playing music. Like everyone's hands are going up and down.
Oh, but my favorite piano player, my favorite character was the brother who, you know, it seems so random. Like, oh, his character is that he likes.
This is Queen Latifah's son,
who
is the main lead female's little brother.
One hit wonders.
Yep.
So you go, okay, we're trying to give him a character, but then we find out he has Asperger's, but from my little research of Asperger's, you know, and then he's crying because he goes, I'm different. Asperger people don't know they're different. They don't cry. So it's like him going, I'm crying because I have an affliction where you can't cry.
Well, the Asperger's thing was really interestingly put out because obviously Queen Latifah is a single mom.
What's that movie, Ruby or Rudy, where it was so bad?
Oh, Radio?
Yes.
Basically, you see him in the beginning of the movie. You see this kid in the car. He's wearing like these very dark sunglasses, and he's like doing something with his hands. And you're like, all right, is he like blind? Okay, and then you find out, okay, he's not blind. Then he comes down.
But something's up.
Something's up. We don't know what. Then he comes down the stairs, and he's carrying something in his hand, and he's talking about one-hit wonders, and Queen Latifah's like, oh, you're like a local train. You make all the stops. Like, well, don't understand what that means. And then she touches him, and he recoils.
Yeah.
And you still are not, as an audience member, you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
You don't know if he's still blind or anything. And then much later in the movie.
Oh, what about the piano, when he clanks the piano?
Well, yeah, then he starts quoting one-hit wonder songs and starts singing, and everyone's like,
this is at the pastor's house, right?
Oh, yeah. The pastor comes over to Queen Latifah's house.
Oh, that's right.
He starts singing a song, he gets embarrassed, he runs into the other room and starts clanking the piano, and Queen Latifah says something to the point of, oh, that's just his Asperger's acting up. Like, as if it's like, oh, it's an inflammation of psoriasis. He's got a tough Asperger's
thing. I actually think that the sunglasses might not have been in the script, and they may have auditioned.
He came in with sunglasses.
Well, no, I think what happened was they probably felt this is a very hard thing to play, Asperger's, and it's not coming across this person's Asperger's.
Oh, you know, interesting.
And so let's put sunglasses on him so we don't see most of his face. And then we'll figure out like how to kind of justify it.
It looked like something.
I thought the sunglasses were a really weird. I did. I agreed.
At first, I thought he was a hipster,
such a weird choice.
Trying to, hey, dude, I'm cool.
Well, that's because the way that they kind of establish him is he doesn't want to go into the church because he's like. In the car, like, you think, oh, he's like the hip-hop guy in this town of, like...
It's interesting. We all put so much onto that character because of his mysterious entrance.
But then it looks like a Disney tween show would have Asperger's, but it's just random. It's such a... Yeah, it's like he comes in and out of it. Like, I'm nervous. Now I'm back to...
Yeah.
Like, and then have him sit at the piano.
It's real touch and go.
Yeah.
It's real touch and go.
And I thought, I thought he was being groomed to be the savior.
Yeah.
Like, when because he starts taking piano lessons, he proves at some point he starts singing and he can really sing. So I was like, oh, Walter is going to save the day.
But
no,
Jason,
he doesn't.
I do think that.
But they let him sit in and it's a mascot.
Yeah, but I think we thought he could sing because Randy went to the quarry.
The quarry?
Yeah.
With
whoa, what is going on right now? Did we just stumble into an episode of Sesame Street?
They go Randy to the quarry.
Goes to the quarry? Is that one of those words you've only seen written?
June is having a stroke right now.
I've only seen it written. I was not sure how to pronounce it. Quarry?
Quarry.
Okay, so they go to the quarry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that's just a place they hang out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what's interesting about that is I think we thought the brother could sing because everyone sounds good at the quarry.
Oh,
and
maybe.
I'm not sure that everyone who sings at the quarry is actually a good singer.
Okay. But no, but he sang I'm in Love with a Stripper when they were practicing.
Wait, this guy's supposed to be a bad guy who comes to town, and he's like, you know,
This is, by the way,
he's a juvenile
Randy.
Delinquent.
Yeah.
Because he says the word bitch. Yo, it's great hearing this bitch. You're singing the bitch out of his song, remember?
By the way, they never justify how this kid why is he bad, and how did he get from New York down to just being in Dolly Parton's house? Like, there's no connection. Like, he didn't. Oh, she didn't know. She wasn't aware that
she
was
never asked
like
him what happened. She never. They never get to the root of it.
Yeah. And it seems like he should have said, "I'm sorry, I missed Grandpa's funeral yesterday."
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, here's one thing.
That's why he's bad.
He was too busy eating that chicken.
Did he? I guess my question is: was he trying to make it, or
I don't think
was
so.
Was he just down for other reasons?
I think he. You know, they said his mom threw him out of the house,
so he had nowhere else.
He had nowhere else to
go. Yeah, he was so bad, but
they
nothing
make him
bad.
The bad guy, and Queen Latifah likes him at first because he's helping the Aspergers come out of his thing because they're playing songs.
They're playing an R. Kelly song.
Yeah, yeah, but then all of a sudden doing the I'm the bitch stripper song.
I'm in love with a stripper.
But the quarry thing, is that how you say it?
Quarry.
The great thing is, so there's this competition, this other guy at this...
Well, basically, Randy, the delinquent, falls in love with Queen Latifah's daughter, who is also very talented. So that's really...
They are like a young, interracial, like, singing
high school
phenom.
Musical. Yeah.
Yeah, like, both of them can sing. She's traditional. He's like a bad boy.
A bad boy, because, like I said, he said the word bitch.
But that's the thing is, I can't figure out, like, you know who's a bad boy who gets kicked out of the house? Like, a kid who's on meth, who's, like, selling stuff and is, like, committing felonies. Not a kid who can play multiple musical instruments perfectly and can sing amazingly.
Sing and dance.
Yeah.
So basically,
yeah,
you know,
and is a great arranger. He also arranges all of the songs we learn later in the movie.
And, like, really cares about people from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
From the
big heart.
He's
kid.
Helping her brother, the Asperger's kid.
Well, also this kid, I guess maybe they show you
that's
he's
just
bad.
To get close to her, I think.
You think so?
What's her name? Olivia?
Olivia.
Thank
you. They show you that he's bad because when he first meets Olivia, he says to her, he was like, hey, I want to make babies that look like you.
Yeah.
Like, that's a pretty intense thing to say, right? Also, by the
how
way.
How old is she, do we think?
He's just confident.
He's confident. But, I mean, he wants to get into a very committed relationship.
Very
quickly. Instead of just having sex, he wants to make babies with her.
But they're nebulous because he knew her? Did
that's
he know
what
her
I was just
going to
say. Yeah, they knew each
not,
other from childhood or something,
or
right?
I did not know that.
There was some throwaway line about how he had seen her, like, before when they were kids, and she was always special or something like that. I can't remember. Exactly,
I think
how
he has probably spent his summers down there and remembers her. But he didn't.
I love the backstory.
I'm so curious about what the fuck happened between Dolly and her daughter.
Oh my God.
Well, yeah.
We'll never know.
Everything is unexplained. Dolly and Queen, the daughter and her.
The timeline of this movie. Things would go from night to day.
So quickly,
and people would seem to be having the exact same conversation. It would be from night they were having, like, there was one scene that was happening at night where Queen Latifah and Dolly Parton got it and were mixing it up, and then it cuts to each of them in their cars, Queen Latifah with her daughter and Randy with Dolly, and each of them is like, can you believe she was saying this to me, and can you believe this was happening? And I was like, are they talking about what happened last night? Because that was nighttime when that happened. Have they not spoken about what happened last night yet?
It's very expensive to shoot at night, so they need to.
Here's the weird thing, though, about Dolly, this like relationship. They're attacking each other for the worst reasons and making fun of each other. Well, I'm not really sure what happened to stir this, but Dolly says a number of times that Queen, you know, her husband left to go to the army, and that's considered
shameful.
Bad and shameful.
Well, it's the like, town what? That everybody in town is talking
everybody
about
is
it.
Talking about it, and Queen makes
talking about your patriot husband.
Yeah,
and Queen
who just
makes
picked up and left
comments.
And went to the army.
Yeah, and Queen starts attacking Dolly a day after her husband has died suddenly.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it's horrible.
Well, I mean, it all culminates at the end in a great food fight, which we'll get to.
Wait. But the quarry scene I love because there's an earlier scene where at some disco, it's not a disco, whatever.
They're going to a club in this town that does not fit in this town at all.
No, they go
it
to like
a scene out of The Wire.
An L.A.
You know what I mean? Like
or
some Baltimore.
A big city club. Yes.
Yeah, this is like Mayberry, and all of a sudden there is an L.A. style club. In
and he looked like some kid from The Wire.
Yeah.
He goes, get away from me, bitch. You know, this is much. You know, he was like a gangster. The woman goes,
he was
I
the
like
kid
you.
In the beginning. When we first meet her, that kid's name, I think, is Manny.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, she's kind of like, Manny is after Queen Latifah's daughter as well. So Manny and Randy are naturally
But then Manny says to this woman, go away from me. I just know you 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So he's like a killer, like I said, from The Wire. And then the other guy says, go away. And this is my girl. And it's such a thing. I don't know how to dance. You could dance. And she remember that thing?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. So basically, Randy Cheech's what's her name?
Olivia.
2 seconds how to dance.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know how to dance. And they're on the dance floor, and he just starts, like, kind of like just grooving on her, like just getting up.
This is a scene out of, like, Step Up.
Yeah.
This is a scene out of a Step Up movie to me.
But it doesn't go really past that.
It doesn't. It never goes anywhere.
It just kind of stops. Like, he just kind of gets in her face for a second, and she starts laughing. It's like, cut.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say before. That's what's so odd about this movie is that you would think. It started off with the choir only singing gospel music. And then finally, by the end of it, with all these new people coming in and with Queen's big shift, that she would move to more contemporary tracks. No. They're singing Michael Jackson from the beginning.
Yeah, they were never really singing gospel songs.
They were never singing gospel music.
Well, no, they were. They were not doing the... I think they start doing pop stuff. Man in the Mirror is them trying to convince Queen Latifah. Because I think under Kris Kristofferson... They did not do anything that wasn't traditional.
Jason.
I think they try to convince Queen Latifah to remember, and they're like, just give it a try. And then it's Queen sitting there, and she starts singing Man in the Mirror, and Queen's like, no, you're singing too bright. And then Man in the Mirror, they calm it down, and it becomes Man in the Mirror like is like a God thing. That's what I thought.
So I thought she was, I didn't pick up on that, the earlier part of that scene. I thought Man in the Mirror was one of their numbers, and what the young girl was trying to do was do
if you're
gonna
Mariah
do
pop, do it
Christina style.
But the quarry.
So basically, this bad guy. Sorry, bad guy is
shows
set up
at this place
at the quarry with the Asperger's kid.
How the hell does he know they're there?
Oh,
and they're going. They're doing something like.
By the way, they're laying on the quarry as if it's like a beach. Like they're laying out. They're like laying out, getting
deserted
some sun.
Place where people would get murdered. Where people go. It's so barren, and they're saying something like, "I like myself." Or what are you both screaming out? And then he comes in and he starts. Sing it too, so you thought they were. All
oh right, they're
like,
singing a song. I think she's a bitch or something, right?
She bothers me. She something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they're singing a song
they're
about Queen Latifah.
A really terrible song about his mother. Right. Something like.
And then he comes in
bitch.
And chimes in like you think he's going to sing, and so then they get into a fight. And
a
like,
terrible fight.
By
a terrible
the way, fight. It was a great fight in my opinion because it looked so real. It was not well
you thought
choreographed.
It was going to be a third heart attack. I thought that kid was going to die because he belts him. Well, first of all, the brother is chiming in like, just because you have Asperger's, when you fight, you slap and you run away like a girl. Like he was
and
like,
he punches him in the balls.
He punches him lightly in the balls and he punches him lightly in the ass and skitters. Like just because you have Asperger's, you don't like to be touched doesn't mean you slap and get nervous like Jerry Lewis or, you know. And I mean, wasn't that fight great?
I love when he punched him in the balls, it felt like...
He also kicked him in the bum.
Yes.
But very lightly.
That's why I say bum instead of kicked him in the ass. Because he really did. He tapped him in the bum with his foot.
But then Randy kind of gives him one shot across the face
and
the
slow
blood.
Motion.
And
you thought his head was going to, you know, jaw was going to come off. Yeah, it's slow motion turning around.
Yeah, and just blood explodes from his mouth. It's a very violent scene that has no consequences.
Yes,
or no
because Manny isn't around anymore until they realize the band, it needs a little more juice. And then Randy goes out and finds Manny.
And he got, and everything's okay.
Yeah.
Because we need you.
Yeah.
And, no, no, because the band, they're going, yeah, we don't have what it takes. And the other guy, yeah, is like a Hendrix. He goes, all right, yeah, I'll be in the thing.
But that's the kid that he punches in the face. He goes, hey, man, you got great sound. I see you at these house parties playing your guitar. You need to come in.
We
as the audience have never seen this kid with a guitar. Yeah. We have never established that this kid is talented.
Yeah. Well, everybody in this movie, I feel like, is fronting in the craziest ways. Like, everybody is supposed to be, it's the same way he is supposed to be the town bad boy, the town thug, but in the same way that Randy is supposed to be, like, a city bad boy, and he's just, like a kid from the Fame High School. You know what I mean? Like, none of these archetypes fit with the actual characters that they've written.
Same way the queen is spoken about, like, she is such a monster.
Yeah.
I mean, the way her children talk about her, the way everybody talks about her in this movie as though she's, like, the she-devil. I mean, she seems like a nice person.
Well, first of all, to show what a hard worker she is.
This is what I'm going
to
say, yeah.
They show a shot of her as a nurse, and you go, they're not going to do a bedpan shot. And then the joke was she takes the piss and it falls, and that was
It doesn't fall. She takes the piss and she takes the bedpan, and the patient starts having a spasm and starts like slapping it out of her hand. And she's like,
but that was the joke in the scene, just to show, okay, she's a hard worker. I didn't think that was supposed to be a joke. No,
I thought it was supposed to be deadly serious.
Deadly serious and very
like sad,
dark and sad. And I felt.
You don't think that was a joke?
I thought it was like, oh, this woman has a really tough life.
But it was a joke.
Was it?
You don't think so? They were going for...
I don't... What did you think, Jason?
When they dropped the bedpan? I thought that was supposed to go towards she's got it tough.
That's what I thought. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was reading that as she's got it tough. Like, now she's got, like, piss on her. I thought
terrible.
It was shit, to be honest with you.
And later on, she's got another job as a waitress.
Yeah.
Because well, when your kid likes one-hit wonders, you got to have two jobs.
Well, she gets two jobs because she gets fired from being the choir director. Spoiler alert. Eventually that happens.
Yeah.
Because she goes, when she steps down and Dolly takes over as the choir leader, she's like,
maybe you'd be better off without me
but
or whatever.
We skipped. I love after the fight, they come home all singing because, you know, that brings you out of autism or Asperger's if you beat someone up.
Yeah, so the Asperger's is not heavy that day.
No, so it was very, he was feeling confident, and then he sees Queen, and what happened? They say, you got beat up. She goes, get out of here. You're never to see him again, and then he starts clanking the piano.
Yeah.
Because he was feeling good. He beat someone up and felt like a normal person, but then he's not your mentor anymore, and he went back to the piano.
And then this is the best, this is close to the time where he sits down with Queen Latifah and starts crying. You talk about him crying. Where he says he doesn't know how...
had to cry because I have Asperger's.
Right, and he goes, I think everything is fine, and then they leave a tissue of shit in my locker.
Yeah.
That is
a tissue of shit.
I wanted to see that scene.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what?
A tissue of shit.
Now, that's not someone
in the form of a tissue.
Is that like someone pooping onto a tissue? Is that somebody wiping and putting their wipe in there?
I thought it was in a tissue. I thought somebody shit in a tissue and wrapped it up like a precious gift.
You think it's a bum wiping?
I think it's a bum wiping.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, bum wiping versus... turd in tissue. Dan, do we think it's human or of dog?
I think it's human shit, and I think someone wiped their ass and they put it in the mentally challenged kid's locker.
I will say this. Huh. I will say
this. Because, by the way, one tissue, if you were to shit in a tissue, you couldn't use one ply of tissue to carry it around
you
and place it
couldn't.
In someone's locker.
No, you'd need a bunch of tissue to... I mean, I've done this.
Exactly.
No, you know, not for nothing. In a sexual context.
That was my favorite part. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, here's my theory on it. I just had this thought right now.
We're still doing tissue shit tissue?
Tissue. Well, look, we can go back to
because we just heard that whole commercial.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure the audience
people
is picking up.
People have not forgot about the shit
while they were listening to that commercial for the Borgata.
I think of it like this movie is like a bad documentary filmmaker. He came to this town to make a documentary about a choir, and then he's getting confused. He's not getting the shots he needs. Like, he's like, oh shit, I should have been at the school when the shit tissue happened. I wasn't there. I should have been at the house party. Like, he's running around but catching all the wrong scenes.
I should have gotten that phone call between Dolly and her daughter.
Yeah.
Everything was slopped in these, like, it looks like, what are those paranormal movies, those home footage thing? When they show them having good times, like this weird kind of like camcorder look, and they just walk
That happens twice. Well, there's one where Queen Latifah is. So at one point. It happens.
She puts on her husband. She shows why she misses her husband. She puts on a tape on a big screen TV of in some camcorder of them practicing saluting.
It's
them in a park. Great marriage.
It's just them in a park. Well, practicing saluting and hugging.
Well, basically, to me, it seems like they had Jesse L. Martin for one day,
for one afternoon,
and they were like, okay, we gotta shoot same outfit. Keep on the same outfit. Yeah. Queen, you put on his jacket.
Do we have time for a change?
No, go. Shoot this.
Oh yeah, during the day he did that, and night they did the diner scene.
Yeah, that was it.
Should we leave his mustache on or take it off?
Leave it on.
but you're not sure why it was a good marriage, but then you see her watching someone else tape.
Yeah,
you have a good marriage. Could you tape me and my husband
who
saluting?
That's what I kept thinking. Who's shooting this?
Who's shooting that movie? A very intimate moment between her husband and a wife.
And then the other one that happens is when Olivia and Randy break up. Olivia's sitting there like staring at him and has like all of these flashbacks to her and Randy.
That same weird footage.
Super weird footage that's to scenes it's like we've never seen.
It's like Kodachrome style. It's like she's remembering this long life. And again, like we said,
like
this
they've
movie,
maybe known each other for 2 weeks.
Yeah, this movie could take place over 2 weeks or about 2 years. I don't know.
Yes. Here's a question.
Well, I'll tell you, at the end of the movie, not to spoil too much, at the end of the movie, the husband returns from duty.
Yes. Yeah.
So a year has to have gone by.
No. I think that he's...
Or is that a year later? No, it's a year later.
It's a year later.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
The reason the husband came back, this got cut from the script. There was a scene where he was watching the same footage. And he said, we had that one time in the park. We said, can you hold the camcorder?
Really confused, though, about the husband and why he left.
Or why he came back or why they were ever together.
He left, he says. I mean, I think what you're meant to believe is that the presumption is that he abandoned them. And that's what Dolly is saying, that the townspeople are saying. Like, people are
he wrote the fake letters.
You know, but the reality is he went to war, though.
The townspeople also know he went to war.
Well, yes. Well, Randy, because people are saying, why did he sign up as he's 35? He's too old.
He's 35. He's too old.
He looks 50.
He signed up to get away from you. He had signed blah, 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 whatever. But then when Randy...
That's a crazy concept, by the way.
Randy kidnaps Olivia.
Wait.
He says, we're going out, and they're driving for like hours.
For like 12 hours.
Where are we going? This is a surprise. And she's all smiling, like this is going to be fun. So then they get to this army base. I figured it out. I'm not that smart. And you think that the father works as the security guard there, because they probably couldn't afford a scene in the army base?
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, he meets him at the gate.
Standing there by the gate.
Well, yeah, he came out to the gate. But by the way, this whole kidnapping sequence where Randy takes Olivia away, they're like, where is she? Where is she? They don't have cell phones in this movie. No one ever pulls out a cell phone.
No, Randy has a cell phone the whole time. You know, he's like showing videos on his cell phone.
They're always showing, and they have good cell phones.
Yeah. It's like, he totally.
Just as your son still being retarded.
Yeah, I just don't understand
Asperger's.
I just don't understand why nobody called. I had the same thing. Why isn't anybody calling?
Yeah.
Unless they were not picking up. Why wouldn't they pick up?
They go to the cops, and the cop goes, it's okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So is that why? I know that's what we're led to believe. Is that why Walter left?
The dad says, I couldn't take it anymore. The way your mother looked at me with such disappointment, I couldn't find a job. This is all back to the economy. I couldn't find a job. I couldn't pay for my family. Do you know what it's like to like not be able to support your family? So I
abandoned them.
I re-enlisted. I figured she would want me gone. Doesn't he say, I figured she would want me gone? And this way, I get to send the paycheck home, is what he says, basically. So I don't know.
And so he's... Okay, but
and he says she doesn't want me around anymore anyway. And then the daughter says she still watches that video of you guys in the park. That's what she says.
Yeah.
And then later we see her watching that video.
But
what we don't know is that that video turned into a hardcore sex scene.
Hardcore porno.
Doesn't Queen, though, at that point think that Walter's like away overseas fighting a war?
Walter is her son. Or is he Walter too?
I'm sorry, I think he's... I thought the father's
name was Walter Jr.
Jesse L. Martin.
Well, yeah.
I thought Queen...
Marcus.
His name is Marcus?
Yeah.
Yeah, Walter is the son.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought Queen thought Marcus was overseas.
Well,
was it a surprise that he's just at a base mere hours away?
Queen is writing fake letters as her husband to her kids.
Right.
So she knows he's at that base.
She's making up her own narrative.
Okay.
At some point, they said, where's the dad? And the daughter says, Fort whatever.
Now, I just want to...
She knows that, I think, everybody knows.
I got to say, though, that's a complicated character for this type of movie.
Yes! Every character is complicated.
But that's like a very heady idea that this man, because he couldn't support his family, would enlist in the army this many times. It's a really wild idea.
But I mean, this whole movie is full of that. It is. It's like Asperger's this.
There's never stakes to any of it. It sounds, on theory, complicated, but it doesn't pay off in any way. Because the other thing is, he then says when they're leaving, when he's saying goodbye, right? Jesse L. Martin is like basically saying goodbye.
Yes.
He says, I'm getting shipped out in a week.
He's going
to Afghanistan or Iraq or someplace like that in a week. So I was like, oh, that dude's going to die.
Yeah.
Like this is just, but the blasé nature with which he says goodbye to everybody is like bizarre.
It's almost like he's like, I'm going to go to the store and get some stuff. I'll see you guys later.
I'll
bye.
See you guys never?
Yeah.
You know?
And what is he doing over there? Is he building things or is he...
Special Forces.
He's Special Forces.
SEAL Team 6. He killed Osama bin Laden. In the world of this movie, he is one of the SEAL Team members that killed Osama bin Laden.
No, I think... I don't know.
And then he writes the book and goes on 60 Minutes and then they get all his money and...
I also thought the reveal that, like, because the daughter and the Olivia and Walter, the Queen Latifah's kids, each get weekly letters from their dad. And then it's revealed when Olivia meets her dad that he's not writing the letters. The Queen Latifah is writing the letters. I then thought the dad would start writing letters.
Nope.
I'm like,
well, here's the other strange thing.
Shame on you, Dad.
Yes, shame on him. And here's the other weird thing about the letter writing. She must have been writing in...
A different handwriting.
And the kids call it out when she hands him the letters and says, well, why doesn't Dad text or email like everybody else? If she was doing this, well, we know she was doing this, why not just create
fake email?
It would be so much easier.
It's like my mother.
Than trying to mimic this
Marcus
man's
Hill
handwriting.
MarcusHill@AOL.com.
Oh, yeah.
That would be easy. It would be easier. But again, this movie is not about being easy. The movie is about 2 hours, about 47 minutes without the songs. And now we're deep into the movie. And
oh my God.
Dolly has not yet sung. She has been in the background singing.
That was really hard for me. When is she going to sing?
And when she sings, they pull out all the stops because she doesn't do...
You mean the final?
No, the duet.
Oh, the duet.
She does a duet with a dead man.
Okay. Yep. Well, at first I'm going, why did Kris Kristofferson agree to do this? Did they go, you're getting $300,000 just to do a thing where he touches his heart, and then he does a duet, but I still don't know why he did it.
Basically, his opening scene makes those medical alert bracelets look subtle. You know, he's like, oh, you know. And then the second scene... No dialogue.
He's still not singing, really.
Yeah, he's
singing.
Basically, she starts playing the piano and talking about this love, and she looks out the window, and then Kris Kristofferson comes up to the window.
Yep.
And then they, like, dance in a cornfield, and they
sing. She says that's what they used to do.
Really not subtly, where, oh, I want to sing this, but it's usually a duet. Oh, come on. All right. I'll do it, but it's
Randy's like, I know the song. Her grandson is like, I know the song, and he starts her off. And then she starts singing, and then she looks out the window, and Kristofferson arrives, and then he takes over for Randy.
Yes.
And he is struggling in this song.
I mean, I may have cried during it.
You did. You definitely did.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Interesting.
Yeah. It got me.
Well, you
good.
Really, you cried it when he came up
good.
On that porch again. she got really in the mode of Dolly seeing her husband approach the porch.
This was the thing that I had a real problem with in this sequence, is that Dolly goes to the window and she sees Kris Kristofferson. And he's approaching, like she said, like they would sing the song and blah. So she's singing, and then he approaches, and then Dolly visualizes herself out there as well.
Yeah.
So there's Kris Kristofferson all in black. There's Dolly in the house in white.
Yes.
And then there is a Dolly in black.
There is
already dead Dolly out on the porch singing with Kris Kristofferson.
Yeah.
So I was like, when Kristofferson walks out, I'm like, great. She should walk out. They should sing the song. No. There is a weird ghost version of Dolly that is going to sing. It was. And then she stops singing inside and it's just watching.
And then, I think she was remembering them singing it to us.
Well, then, but then,
and
but
so she had
all in black, both of them. All, who are they? June and Johnny Cash? I don't think so.
But then there was a moment too where, yeah, and then she sits back down at the piano to finish the song. She really do nothing. She sits back down and be like, and the song's over.
Yeah,
like, but. That song was pretty great. That was a great Dolly moment.
Oh,
really.
I loved that.
Now, meanwhile, things are not going well in the church. Now, back to one of the main plot line that you would think the movie is about.
Is the competition.
Yes. Now, things...
they've lost.
Did you get to the detective yet?
Wait, what detective?
Where she hired a detective. She did her own research and found that they have these competitions you never explain. Like, they never show them. They just talk about them. So it turns out they're all of a sudden in the finals because she did research and found out there was professionals.
Right. Because basically, their church group is always losing in the semifinals.
To the Detroit group.
And the Detroit
group. No, we do see that. The Detroit group does. We see that. That's the James Brown-esque choir leader and his choir. What's interesting is we see a competition. We see we see their competition.
We just showed in a week later.
But we never see our choir perform in that competition.
So weird.
I wonder
that we're going to be that bad.
You just assume they performed lost.
They probably said you've seen them sing enough. You don't need
I was really. That weirded me.
How do you do a? How do you do a competition and not show one person competing?
Honestly, I do think they thought, heard them all sing, so you know the barometer we're working with, so you figure it out.
I think that you're supposed to feel like when you see the James Brown guy, you're like, oh yeah, they have no chance. Absolutely, so why even shoot that scene? Because as an audience member...
I bet they shot it. I bet they shot it and they were like, we got to pull at least one song out of this movie. This movie's got too many songs.
That's why the movie's so long.
And so then they can be like, well, pull that song out because that song doesn't really matter because they lose anyway. Right. You know?
So then they get on that bus and then you find out later that who hired the detective was a Dolly?
I don't know. She goes, I did some research. I did my CSI. And, you know, and so...
They find out that there's
so you don't see all the work that she found out they were professional gospel singers.
Yeah, they're like scab gospel singers. They're not like, I don't even know how you become
church members. They're not I think what she's contending is this isn't church members making up a church choir. These people hired professional singers to make up a church choir. That's what it is. It's basically like if you had an amateur team and you hired professional basketball players to play for you.
So many of the plot points were not shown, as they say, the old cliche, show, don't tell.
Of course.
You know, like, you would go, hey, I gotta, you know, they should have had Queen Latifah the bedpan scene going, hey, I think, so I'm onto something, you know, show some
show
of
some
work.
Of the investigation.
Yeah.
Again, it's a bad documentary filmmaker. He's missing all the crucial scenes. He's getting a lot of the exposition.
He's like, oh, I had to go to the bathroom. Did I miss my choir at the competition? I did? Oh, no.
Said, oh yeah, this is what happened. Yeah, it's like those reality shows where someone talks to the camera, the testimonials. So we lost, but then we found someone. They're not
that
allowed.
That would have made the movie so much more efficient if they'd had first person confessionals.
Just to establish what's going on now. So they get redeemed. They get to go to the finals. But now things are falling apart because Queen Latifah doesn't want her daughter hanging out with the bully who punched that kid in the dick. And and so now they kind of have a pretty intense standoff.
And the other guy doesn't want them to sing certain kind of songs.
Oh, the pastor. So everything's kind of falling apart here in the third act. But if you know anything about this movie, don't worry about that. Don't worry about the third act obstacles because they're going to get wiped away very quickly. But anyway, the daughter gets really mad at Queen Latifah.
Oh, it says that in the hotel?
In the hotel. And I have a clip of this. This is probably one of the best monologues. This is Queen Latifah responding to her daughter's angry monologue.
Bullshit. It's lazy and it has no class, but it's not hard. You think I'm not pretty?
Didn't say that.
I am an incandescent, board-certified supermodel, baby. I happen not to flaunt it because I am a married woman, and I would never disrespect my husband the way you just disrespected your mother. But beautiful as you are, and you are very, very beautiful, I would hang mirrors all over my house if I could just to look at myself. I put one on the refrigerator just to watch myself eat all of them calories. And if I gave myself a heart attack from all that food, I'd just give myself CPR. Because I'm a nurse. That's right, I save lives. And that is not bullshit.
So now that is one of the best. Why that wasn't nominated. That
I do this as a monologue during auditions. I perform this as a monologue.
I couldn't hear in my head.
Because I am a nurse.
About her ugly to her mother, I couldn't hear.
It's all started off because she said that she's jealous of Queen Latifah because she is.
No, Queen Latifah is jealous of her.
Of her, because she's pretty.
That's why this movie is so crazy at certain points, because you're right, Fred. There are tonal shifts. I mean, that's a crazy, dark, deep thing to say.
Oh, yeah.
For a daughter to say to her mother. It's crazy.
There is a version of this movie that is just a harrowing story
about
a single mother
whose
husband has left to join the army.
There is a precious version of this movie.
With an Asperger's son and two jobs and a feisty daughter who is being, you know, lured away by a dangerous guy.
Yeah, but they throw in light humor of guys having heart attacks.
Yeah, exactly. But this movie is not that movie.
No, I feel like maybe it was based on a book, so I wonder if the book is...
Was the book by Sapphire?
Yeah. That's what I believe
it
was.
Queen delivered the shit out of that monologue.
Yeah. She did. She did a great job.
I loved it.
And it all takes place at an elevator bank.
Robbie, there's
in
no
like a
production
hotel.
Value to that set. It's so weird.
Crazy.
Just
why random,
would they shoot
out of
it
nowhere,
there and not at like the quarry?
These issues. Someone punched it up. Go. We should point out she doesn't look like her daughter. Yeah. She's much more attractive.
But that
why
is
would
a
Queen
really
Latifah-
weird thing because it. Queen does not seem to be struggling with her looks or her age or anything throughout the entire movie.
No. Everybody's
really
leveling those charges against her.
Dolly
says she's fat. Dolly says she's ugly.
Her and Dolly kind of have this like Simon Cowell-esque like dig moment, which breaks into a full-on food fight in a diner while people are eating.
Where Queen Latifah has now taken a second job.
You know what I think happened? The food fight is so feeble. I think these two diva actresses said, I don't want to get food all over me. So they just sort of held a tray up and just sort of, you know what I mean?
She like throws pasta at her.
But it doesn't hit.
It doesn't hit. Yeah.
It just goes a foot away.
The crazy thing with Queen, it's in only one shot, Queen Latifah has her fists up.
Yes, I was going to talk about that.
I was like, is she going to punch Dolly Parton?
But then they go into this feeble, what was that show with Wilma Valderrama, Rank Out show?
Oh, Your Mama?
I thought they did some Your Mama jokes. Not quite,
you know, she's like, you have so many facelifts that you don't even know who you are.
I picture these random punch-up guy getting hired. All right, let's put some...
That's got Valance written all over it.
I did like Dolly's line, they didn't make plastic surgeons so they could starve.
Yeah.
Nice. I did love that line. I mean, that's a great line for Dolly to deliver, and I thought.
But again, random and like
totally
she's this
random.
Rich
but
diva
I
with plastic
it.
Surgery in this black choir, you know.
Where is that plastic surgery? She must have to go travel very far for that plastic
surgery.
Well,
I have to say, her wealth is strangely defined in this movie because her house does not seem that nice.
No,
the car she's driving does not seem.
Oh,
that
maybe
nice.
The joke is she drives slowly.
Yeah, she drives slowly in that car. But I mean, yeah, you're right. There's nothing in the movie to show she's not overt.
I don't think she's. I mean, I think the thing is the town is so depressed. This rural Georgian town is so depressed that she is wealthy in comparison.
So she basically like paid for.
So she
I don't think she's crazy rich.
And
I
just want to talk about the Christofferson left her a lot of money. Like she's going to be okay.
Well, what was
I don't know. I really worry about her. That's the sequel.
He left her a song and a video of them saluting.
Well, Queen Latifah puts Dolly in a headlock and then urges, so this is just back to the food fight, and urges a diner to videotape it because she wants to put this on YouTube.
But
that never shows
up. Somewhere.
Yeah.
Right,
I thought that was
going to
turn into something.
I forgot about that. There was like evidence that I'm not, right. That was
She repeatedly refers to the man videotaping it.
Yes.
Are you getting this?
Yeah.
Put it on YouTube.
We thought this was going to be evidence or,
never comes back. There's another weird thing that has a payoff and then no setup. When when the woman who killed Mr. Sue at the final competition,
I'm excited. She's at some lunch thing with the competition, and a black guy sits down and he says, "Hey, how you doing?" She goes, "My name is what and whatever," and he runs because you're going to get
everybody
a heart attack
knows.
If you sit next to the woman.
And then her friend comes over and says, "Don't worry, you're going to meet somebody great." And she says,
"If
I do,"
toilet.
She says, "If I do, I'm going to do the splits."
And then
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Well, there is a setup that I
didn't
understand.
That's the setup you didn't get.
She was on a toilet doing her warm-up.
Yeah, she's in a toilet.
And another tall... she likes all Asian guys. All Asian guys like her. The other guy was like 55. This guy was like 23, good-looking and slim. He opens a toilet door, says, hey, I've heard about you. This guy didn't hear about... First he says, Miss Hughes,
to a closed toilet door.
Yes.
Like, he knows she's the person in there.
He's like, walked into the women's room.
What? Yeah.
She's in the women's bathroom. This is not even...
She's in a stall, and he says, Miss Hughes?
Now, she could be taking a shit. She could be doing anything.
At this point, she should presume she's about to be murdered.
Yeah.
Like, in my mind, that's possible in this movie.
She has this reputation of... You know, the one that kills Chinese guys.
Well, she only did it once.
Okay, but the other guy ran.
Yeah,
the other guy knew it.
I know, but it's like, how did that word get out? Like this in the southern Alabama town. They're in Los Angeles. Yeah, they're in Los Angeles now, and the word has gotten out.
By the way, how did Mr. Sue die?
Oh, you found that high blood pressure.
Yeah,
right.
He had high blood pressure, she says.
Which is
heart
odd.
Heart attack is the answer.
Asian people, for the most part, don't have
this
high blood
back
pressure.
Back
no,
this.
I don't want to go down this road.
Jump back off this racist.
I think this might be racism. I'm serious. He's very slender.
It does not line up with this.
Should she have been the one that died of a heart attack?
Well, she's making all that bacon for
him. Guys, we got to back off of this. Guys, I'm telling you.
But the thing I was hoping for is that with Mr. Sue dying, I hope she would do a solo and Mr. Sue would dance with her. I was hoping so much for that.
One of my favorite things was, so after the man, what we're describing, the woman who sexually kills Mr. Sue, tries to sit down with the man and says, if I ever find a man, I'm going to do the splits, right? This is in the third act. Then she goes, oh, look. The other woman goes, oh, look, and points off camera. And then they run a distance to a window where they see two floors below them, the Dolly and Randy have arrived. And I'm like, from where you were sitting, physically be impossible to see
the cross-country
down
trip
two floors.
Like, 2 seconds, a cross-country trip. But one thing...
They were also on, like, a city transit bus. They drove from Georgia to Los Angeles in a bus, like, from the Xperia, and you think you're going to cut into it, and it's going to be, like, a coach bus, like a bus, and it's not. It's, like, a city transit bus with hard plastic seats. I was like, is this the only bus interior they could get? Like, what's happening?
I think it was actually the same bus interior that they used the first bus for when they were going to the... regional or whatever.
That's the church bus.
The producer said, look, we could give Chris Christopherson $500,000 for one day or get buses. But
and so now we're up to the competition as we were wrapping up this movie. We're up to the competition. They let the church do the performance that they want to do.
Did you get to the part where the first group before them kicked ass?
Oh, right. The first group before them are teenage
children.
They're great.
They are amazing. Unbelievable.
Yes.
So they must be real.
They must be like a real choir.
Yeah.
The kids sing like a true gospel, beautiful, but it's like all like they're dancing, they're doing great.
There's like a baby Michael Jackson
is the lead. It's great. But then our group goes up and they start their traditional song.
Yes.
Right? And then this happens.
This is how they combine the best of the old world, the best of the new world. Here we go.
She was checking up on me. From the game she was singing in my ear, you would think that she knew me. So we decided to chill. The worship got heavy. Got me feeling like I'm ready to blow.
So you get an idea.
She's got me feeling like I'm ready to blow. This is a church choir. That's just one...
The medley.
They do a medley of songs.
Like seven songs.
That is crazy.
They Catholicify all the...
They put God and Jesus and church into all these pop
songs. I mean, I would never think that
songs.
You could put God into that Usher song.
No way.
And they did it.
And they didn't.
They did.
They tried, but that was a failure. And spoiler alert, they win.
Basically, what I feel like happens at this point is like oh boy, remember all those plots we started? We need to wrap them up quick.
Oh, yeah.
And they race to the end to like wrap up plots with no, with just no happenstance. So the Asian guy is marrying the woman, then all of us, they're singing in the choir, but then Queen Latifah's husband comes home, and then they're back in love, and they're kissing, and you,
then,
you want the kid almost to rip off his glasses and be like, I'm not Asperger's anymore.
Yeah.
I think he got cured because people were happy. It seemed like if Queen Latifah was in a good mood, he was okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically Queen Latifah caused his Asperger's. So everything is just like jammed in at the end. Like, okay, and it all worked out. Right? We're all happy.
Everything's fine, right? Yeah. Except that the town is still economically destroyed.
Yeah, they do not
so
set up how the town
they didn't win anything from that competition.
No financial.
But they have the trophy out the window of the bus when they return.
Great.
And everybody's out with signs. The townspeople are celebrating their return.
Obviously, we had opinions about this movie, but here are some 5-star reviews from Amazon.com. These are people who thought the movie was so good, they give it 5 stars. This is from Edward Cullen. I'm assuming that is a fake name.
Oh, really? The character from Twilight?
Yes.
Oh.
This, all in caps, this movie is awesome. If you aren't 13, it is still okay for your young age. The only bad things are that they say the S and H word. Otherwise, it's totally appropriate.
What's the H word?
I don't know.
Hell,
I guess.
Oh, they say bullshit a lot.
Bullshit a lot. And then here's from Joyful Fanatic. I purchased the DVD as soon as it became available because I had seen the movie in the theater on 3 different occasions. I enjoyed the movie so much, I was willing to pay for it 3 different times. I couldn't wait for it to become available on DVD so I could purchase it. I purchased 2 copies, one for myself and one for my cousin. After my cousin received her copy,
she became Asperger.
She gave it to her husband, who enjoyed the movie. They have watched it more than once, and that says something because my cousin only watches movies once.
Oh my god.
5 stars. The craziest weird. Well, I guess if her cousin liked it.
I mean, if that cousin watches it more than once, that says a lot.
And this is my favorite review of all time. I don't think I've ever read this before. 5-star review. My granddaughter-in-law loves this DVD, especially when her husband's home to watch it with her. 5 stars.
Whoa.
So,
what?
She doesn't even watch it. The grandma doesn't even watch it. She's kind of making a sad cry for maybe...
That's weird.
Yeah, her daughter to come back home. Her daughter's son to come back home. Would you guys recommend watching this movie to anybody?
For these amusement, if you listen to the podcast, it's fun.
I think it's not... It's not so terrible that you can't sit through it. It's sweet. It's a saccharine-y sweet
movie.
Yeah.
If you're into if you're into like singing competitions and stuff like that, you'll find a lot. It's not a bad. It's not. There's so many inexplicable parts of it, but it's not. It's
not bad.
It's not bad. It's just not.
Maybe it's
good.
Not worth. Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it.
June?
It's certainly not so bad. It's good. It doesn't get into that territory.
I mean, I would watch it for Dolly, you know. I would tell anyone to watch it for Dolly, but be ready for the fact that Dolly's not really in the movie.
Hey, everybody, that is our show. I'm recording the outro remotely only because we recorded this a while ago, and I wanted to update the plugs. If you're a fan of Fred, you can definitely pick up his brand new book, Maybe We'll Have You Back, The Life of a Perennial TV Guest Star. It's available on Amazon, at Barnes & Noble. You can get it on your Kindle. It's great. He'll be doing a book signing on May 22nd. In La Jolla, California at Warwick's. So check that out. Just go to the Warwick's website there. Tuesday, May 21st at 7:30 p.m. You can check out June on Burning Love Season 2 and 3. And for me, check out our Sherry O'Paul show on the Jash Network. It's a classic recreation of Arsenio Hall interviews. The first one up, Will Arnett as Bill Clinton. Definitely check that out. You can visit us always at our Facebook page at How Did This Get Made. Jump onto the Earwolf boards, let your voice be heard, and of course go to fyi.earwolf.com to vote for a movie that you would like to see on the show. See you next time. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom. .com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.
Hey, everyone. everyone. It's Jessica St. Clair.
And Lennon Parham.
Hey, assholes. It's me, John Gabris.
Lauren Lapkus here.
We just wanted to talk about one of our favorite podcasts to be on and to listen to, Improv for Humans.
I'm a huge Improv for Humans fan. I've done a number of episodes myself. A couple great memories. One of them was when I got to argue about whether bestiality was disgusting or not.
A lot of times it's you, me, and Mandzukas,
yeah,
and Besser, and it's really old school, and there's something about not being on stage in front of an audience that makes you even crazier, yes, than you would be.
If I could recommend an episode to check out or a favorite memory from the podcast, I would say listen to some of the 420 episodes, because those are the ones I like to re-listen to, because I truly don't remember what I said.
Another great episode I loved doing was the Dan Deacon episode. I love his music, and being able to sit like 1 foot away from him and watch him create amazing music was so cool.
That's what's cool, is he gets people on for suggestions, yeah, often singers, songwriters.
Really,
if you're a real fan of improv, even if you've never actually heard improv before, this is a great introduction. You can't get better improv comedians than who he has on his podcast.
Everyone needs to be listening to Improv for Humans. Come on!
New episodes every Thursday. Be sure to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. But I recommend Stitcher. They make me say that.